Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Introduction to Mod Rewrite in IBM HTTP Server. Today's presenters are Alan Cohen and Naveen Shetty. Alan started with IBM 28 years ago developing network adapters. He then held various hardware development jobs before moving to the software group supporting IBM Personal Communications and Host On Demand. For the last 2 years, he has supported IHS, Plug-in, Edge, and Catching Proxy. Naveen has worked in WebSphere support for the last 10 years. The first three in WebSphere security support, followed by 3 years in WebSphere enhanced support team, supporting our OEM customers. In this capacity, his team was responsible for enabling our OEM customers to deliver their products on a WebSphere app server middleware. In addition, he currently supports IHS, Plug-in, Edge, Catching Proxy, and WebSphere CE. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Alan and Naveen.
Hi, this is Al Cohen. I want to welcome everybody. Our intent in this presentation is for Naveen and I to provide an introduction to regular expressions and their implementation with mod rewrite or their use with mod rewrite. And we hope that the presentation provides some references that will be useful and will provide a springboard for further education and investigation outside of this presentation. So if we move on to the slide, the next slide, slide two, is the agenda, which is sort of a primer on regular expressions, and then Naveen will cover some basic mod rewrite directives. Please move to slide three. And this is my section on regular expressions. So please move to the next slide, slide four. So my goal within my part of this presentation is to provide you an understanding of some basic regular expression directives, meta characters, and provide some examples of the use of the expressions, links to some pointers and tools on the internet that are very useful for trying out regular expressions against some of the characters you're trying to match in your production environments. We move to slide five. So the basic terminology within regular expressions is Regular expressions are used as a way to specify a match against some text that you're getting. For web servers, that would be a URI request or a context route that you're getting that you want to match against. And so the regular expressions provide a way for you to programmatically tell the web server what you're trying to match. And there's a link there for some basic regular expression information. We can move to slide six. And so the characters used are rather strange. You've probably seen them are called meta characters. There's a link on this page to the regular expressions on an IBM website for HTTP server. And what I want to cover is just a short presentation of some of the directives, some of the meta characters, and how they work. Slide seven, please. So the first set of meta characters are listed in this table before, and they provide a mechanism to group either characters or string of characters. So using the brackets defines a character class. And within the character class, you would match against, in this instance, the characters capital A or B or C. So a bracket ABC would match against any occurrence of a string that had A, B, or C, not the string A, B, or C, which is the next example within the parentheses, where A, B, C is actually treated as one set of characters. So within, when you define your characters within the parentheses, then all the characters must be present to match, versus if you define them in a brackets where they're an or situation. And then moving on this chart, you can see there's ways to match uppercase, lowercase, and numbers. If you use a hyphen, you can match any characters between A or Z. That would be the other characters of the alphabet. And lower on the chart, where we have characters within the left paren, A, B, C, the bar, D, E, F, the characters would match the string ABC or DEF, and the results in character, whether it was ABC or the DEF match, would be referenced in a back reference, which is a concept we'll cover a little bit later. And you can use the like little upper hat symbol, and you could say the negation. Move on to slide 8, please. Some other symbols are useful, and a lot of these symbols you'll find, you know, in basic references on regular expressions, and which provide maybe a little more details. Don't sweat trying to gather this all right now. You can use a period to match against any character. So if you use a period, it will match everything. The backslash is an escape character. So if you want to match a period and not a real period, like in a sentence, then you would do a slash period, and that would evaluate the period as a period, not as a matching against any character. And there's other ways you can define characters. Slash D would be to match single digits. Slash S, a white space. Moving on to 9, please, slide 9. Additional character definitions, like slash S is single white space character. Slash W would be a word character, and this will match if you have a word, and a word is defined as characters like A through Z and numbers, but not characters like question mark, pound. So if you, this will identify match against a character, a word set of characters. And my suggestion is that you go forward and use some of the tools I'll just mention later in the presentation and try some of these characters out, and you can see how they behave. Slash B can be used to match a backspace character if you place it within brackets. And then it has the behavior of modifying the match of a word character as described, and slash T is just a tab character. So moving to slide 10, please. This set of meta characters describe the number of times the string you define in the regular expression will match against the string you're trying to match, because some strings are greedy and they'll match more than you expect within this, the source string you're matching against. So the asterisk will match, will be a match if there are zero more times a character is present or not. So I've given some examples here, like home asterisk would match, doesn't require the E to be there to be a match. Using the plus sign would require the E to be there, because it states that the previous character needs to be there one or more times. And then curly brackets is a way to say it will match exactly N of whatever immediately precedes it. Further on, N, comma, will match exactly N or more of the characters immediately preceding this N, comma, curly bracket. And finally, N, comma, M will match the character between N and M times that immediately precede it. And there's an example there. Like I say, I think using the tools later on will give you an insight in some of these matching. Move on to number 11, slide 11, please. And this next set of characters will give you a way to specify whether the match should begin at the beginning of a string, by the end of a line, and then the asterisk sign will be able to negate the match if it's not there. So moving on to slide 12. And I said I previously mentioned that some matches are greedy and some are not. And in the case of plus and asterisk, matching is greedy, which means that the regular expression will match as much as it can, meaning that if you apply the regular expression A plus to the string AAA, it will match the entire string and not the first A. And this is important when you have, like, period asterisks, which can occasionally match more than you would expect. And you can modify this behavior so you only match the first time by using the question mark. Moving on to slide 13. And so here's just another example of modifying greedy and non-greedy behavior using the regular expression meta characters. For I, period, asterisk, S would match in Mississippi, and we return ISS, ISS, ISS. And if you modify with an S, then then it will only match the first IS. So just a way to modify the behavior of matching. Moving to slide 14. So these are just some examples of regular expressions. So slash asterisk is zero more slashes, whereas slash period asterisk is a slash followed by zero more of any character. It's something we'll see a lot in regular expressions, since a slash is pretty prevalent in the web environment. And then you can use the backslash period to escape the period, so that www.ibm.com will actually match www.ibm.com with the periods and not be the period that matches everything. Moving to slide 15. On slide 15, I provided an example, a longer example, and I tried to color code the parts of the string and how they would match. So this would match an incoming character string of www followed by a period, followed by one to n characters that are not periods, which is the like little hat character backslash period, and then followed by a period. So you can just sort of examine this, and I suggest maybe use some of the tools I'll reference a little later and just try it out yourself. And the dollar sign just says the end of the line. Slide 16, please. I want to talk here a little bit about back references, and this is something I mentioned a little bit earlier, and it's something that we see a lot in regular expressions that we get to review when customers call us. And this is a concept of being able to define a match that occurs in one of your regular expressions and use it later as part of a rewrite statement. So you could match a server name coming in and remember in a back reference the context root and use the context root in your rewrite statement later on. So here's some information. You define the back references with parentheses, and they get incrementally referenced. So the first time it's like a dollar sign one, the second reference would be dollar sign two. And an example here, we have slash app period back slash period asterisk matches a URL, and I give an example there. And because of the parentheses, you would be able to reference the dollar sign one back reference would contain the result of the A, and the dollar sign two back reference would contain the foo slash app two slash foo slash bar portion of the match. And the thing to note is that in rewrite rules, back references are specified with a dollar sign, and whereas in a rewrite condition that Naveen will speak about later, the back reference is referred to with a percent sign. Moving to slide 17. Just some more back references. It's kind of, sometimes it'd be a little confusing, I think, this concept. So just provided an additional example of a regular expression and showing that the dollar sign one, the first result, will contain the A, and the dollar sign 2 will contain the T. So let's move to slide 18. And this is a simple example. It's, I think, available on the reference pages of the IBM HTTP server of how you can use back references in a rule to fix multiple URI that comes in with multiple backslashes. So you can see where the, you match any character and you have in the first parentheses, and that gets turned into back reference $1, and then you have the double backslash, and then you have the $2 back reference, and you can rewrite that into $1/$2 and get rid of the double backslash. Slide 19, please. And this is just another use of, another example of regular expression. And you can use this syntax, and you could you can match the Q and quiet, but not, it would return a match of Q and quiet, but not QU. And if you, this ensures that, say, an expression comes into you and you want to make sure it's QU and not QA spelled correctly. And this is one way to do that. Slide 20, please. And this is a corollary to the previous slide, and this is a matches any string that has Q not followed by a U. I'm just attempting here to show you the syntax and sophistication of using regular expressions. A lot of the resources you'll find on the web will provide a lot more details into this these concepts. Slide 20, please. And one of the things that we see here sometimes is customers define regular expressions that may not be exact enough for their environments, and they'll end up matching too much. And this can cause some problems. So the message here is to be as precise as you can in defining your regular expressions so you don't have accidental matches. Slide 22, please. And so in summary, what I'm trying to do is just provide a springboard for your further investigation into regular expressions. This is really very high level. You'll find lots of resources in the links we provide and on the Internet and in books that will go into further details worth your investigation. Slide 23, please. One of the books that Naveen and I use, we find it's a very good basic book on rewrites, and it has a section on regular expressions, is the book by Rich Bowen, The Definitive Guide to Apache Mod Rewrite. Good starting place for just basic rewrite information, examples, and it starts out with a basic introduction to regular expressions. There's a book by Jeffrey Friedel, which is Mastering Regular Expressions, if you want to get a little more in-depth education. Page 24, please. Some tools that we use that I found really useful, because sometimes you just need a way to test out your regular expression, is you could try, there's an editor, Edipad, which will allow you to search within a file using regular expressions. So you could use that to try to see if your search for regular expressions is working. There's an online tool that's easy to access that you just type in the regular expression, and you can type in your string that you're trying to match and see if it's working. And one I've used a lot is the Firefox regular expression tester, and you just install the plugin in Firefox, and then the tester becomes available under the tools option within the Firefox. And it's very easy to use. Like I said, you can just try out some of the different regular expressions, and you can see how it's working against your string and just check the behaviors. Very, very simple, very easy and useful. Page 25. Again, just more educational links for regular expressions. Page 26. Some IBM documents on regular expressions and the mastering regular expressions in PHP 1 and PHP 2 are some tutorials on the IBM website. There's a red book that contains a pretty good tutorial. Also, the Appendix A, and the links are provided. Page 27. just some additional links on our website on regular expressions that go a little bit more in depth. And moving to page 28, I'll turn this over to Naveen, and he'll discuss mod rewrite. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. I am Naveen Shetty, and I work with the WebSphere Level 2 team. I work out of Orlando as a remote employee. Without further delay, Joseph, if you can go to slide 29. Okay. Basically, the agenda today for my section is to introduce you to mod rewrite, explain, you know, under what circumstances you might want to use mod rewrite, the config issues with enabling mod rewrite, the nuts and bolts, that is, understand how you can enable rewrite logs and how you can debug rewrite logs, and a few examples, simple ones, because it's an introductory class, and we're hoping that this forms the foundation for the next session, which will handle involved and advanced mod rewrite examples. So that we should be providing sometime later in the year or early next year. Going to slide 30. Some call the mod rewrite the Swiss knife for any website administrator. People who understand it call it magic. People who do not understand it call it voodoo. Hopefully after this session, we will somewhat understand the power of mod rewrite. Simply put, mod rewrite is a way to direct your server to respond in a specific way to a request it receives. It's not magic, it's not voodoo, but rather an advanced control of your website environment. Going to slide 31. So what exactly is mod rewrite? It's basically a regular expression parser with bells and whistles. It uses a rule-based rewrite engine to rewrite request URLs on the fly. It supports an unlimited number of rules and an unlimited number of attached rule conditions for each rule to provide a really flexible and powerful URL manipulation mechanism. The URL manipulations can depend on various tests. For instance, server variables, environment variables, HTTP headers, timestamps, etc., to achieve a granular URL matching. Slide 32, please. So here we talk about some of the benefits and drawbacks of using mod rewrite. Some of the benefits are you can make URLs more descriptive to improve user-friendliness if needed and search engine optimization. You can prevent undesired inline linking, some call it image piggybacking, where you try to access resource from a third-party website without their permission. If you don't want to expose the inner workings of a website to address with to visitors, you can use rewrite. The URLs of pages on the website can be kept even if the underlying technology used to serve them has changed in the future. Drawbacks are, in some cases, if you want to modify a URL to retrieve new data, rewrite engine may hinder the construction of custom queries due to lack of named variables. For example, if you have an LDAP address and mod rewrite is used to make a rewritable URL cryptic, you might get a year, month, date representation, or the LDAP URL might not be intuitive enough when you see it on the browser window. Debugging rewrite condition, rewrite rules can be really hazardous to the mind, I think. My situation case, I think it's a trial and error process for me personally when I'm working with rewrite engine. For most simple situations, there are alternative directives in Apache which can be used for ways of mapping URLs to file system location. For example, you have document root, alias for files outside of document root. You can use mod underscore user dir if you already have an authenticated user. You can use URL redirection, you can use reverse proxy, or you can use error document in most cases. You don't really need the complexities of mod rewrite. Going to slide 33. So the question arises, when do you use redirect and when do you use rewrite? A simple rule which helps is if a file is on the same website, you should use rewrite. If it's on another server, you should use a redirect to optimize network bandwidth. It's simple because a redirect sends the new URL back to the client, and the client must reissue the URL request, which creates more traffic. With a rewrite, the client does not have to reissue the rewritten request. The original request is satisfied, and a new URL is returned along with a new resource. Going to slide 34. So how do you enable more rewrite? Simply, you need to uncomment the load module directive in the httpd.conf file, and care should be taken that this is after the lines which activate the WebSphere plugin. Going to slide 35. Since it's an introductory mod rewrite education session, I've tried to address only the following basic mod rewrite directives. That is, rewrite condition, rewrite rule, rewrite log. The rewrite condition directive defines a rule condition. Preserve a rewrite rule with one or more rewrite condition directives. The following rewrite rule is only used if its pattern matches the current state of the URI and if these additional conditions apply too. The rewrite rule, that's the real, you know, crux of the whole rewrite engine. Each rewrite rule directive then defines one single rewriting rule. The directive can occur more than once. The rewrite log directive is just a way to capture all the steps which the rewrite engine, you know, performs on a particular URI. Going to slide 36. So here's a typical rewrite rule syntax. It's a rewrite rule, which is a keyword, and then you have a pattern, and then you have a substitution string, which is used to substitute the matched pattern. And then you have optional flags. As the word indicates, the flags are optional, and they have specific meanings, which I will discuss shortly. The pattern is a Perl-compatible regular expression, which gets applied to the current URL. The request URI server variable, we will talk about the server variables in a more detail in the further slide. In substitution, a rewriting rule is a string which is substituted for or replaces the original URL for which pattern is matched. The optional flag, it's the third argument, and it's the flags are comma separated, and the list of the flags are discussed in slide further slides. I think it's slide 38. Going to slide 37. Here on this slide, I've tried to describe what a rewrite condition is. It's a conditional pattern, a regular expression, which is applied to the current instance of the test string. The test string is first evaluated before being matched against the condition pattern, and it can be any server variable also, not just a request URI. One or more rewrite condition can precede a rewrite rule directive. It's not necessary to have a rewrite condition before a rewrite rule. I think it's more a historical precedence where it's simpler to read and understand the rewrite condition and mentally parse it so that you are ready to understand what conditions apply to the rewrite rule which follows. Multiple directives must all be true for the rewrite rule that follows to execute, unless this behavior is changed by adding an OR in the rule. Going to slide 38. So the next few slides list out a few of the flags which are used. As I indicated earlier, the rewrite rule does not necessarily have to have a flag part. They should be if they are present in the rewrite rule, then they should be surrounded by square brackets and separated by comma if there are more than one flag variable. F stands for forbidden, where the user will receive a 403 error. L stands for the last rule, which kind of says that no more rules will be processed if this one is successful. R is a basic redirect. User's web browser will be visibly redirected to the substituted URL. So the substituted URL will appear in the browser. NC stands for no case, so it does not matter what case you are trying to match and parse. So in a rewrite condition. OR is an OR symbol. Basically, it's an OR logic for your parser. N stands for next. Basically, next back tells the mod rewrite to restart the rewrite processing from the first rule, but to use the URI that was returned from the last process rewrite rule. So the iteration continues, but the request URI is switched based on what was returned from the last rewrite rule. Slide 39, please. So flag F treats the testing as a path name and tests if it exists and as a regular file. dash D treats, I mean, sorry, flag D treats the testing as a path name and tests if it's a directory. Slide 40. If you use an R flag, it will send an HTTP 302 redirect to the client. This means that a new URL will appear in the browser address bar. Using a PT flag means you are assigning, it basically means pass through, you're assigning control of the processing to the next module in the process. It can be a caching proxy, or it can, a proxy server, or it can be the plugin. It's helpful in allowing, you know, location mapping such as alias or HTTP plugin to take effect. Slide 41, please. Here, I have tried to kind of pictorially depict what happens in the rule set processing. You know, the Apache process is an HTTP processes HTTP request in phases. Basically, a hook for each of these phases is provided by the Apache API. Mod rewrite module specifically uses two of these hooks. One is the URL to file name translation hook, which is used after the HTTP request has been read, but before any authorization starts. And then there is a fix-up hook, which is triggered after the authorization phase and after the per directory config file. So that is, you can use .htaccess if it's been read, but before the actual content handler is activated. So now when the mod rewrite is triggered in these two phases, it reads the configured rule sets from its configuration structure. Note, this rule set itself was either created on the startup for per-server context or during the directory walk of Apache kernel for per-directory context. Next, the URL rewrite engine is started with the contained rule set, that is, one or more rules together with their conditions. The operation of the URL rewrite engine itself is exactly the same for both configuration contexts, only the final result processing is different. The order of rules in the rule set is important because the rewrite engine processes them in that order. The rule is the rewrite engine loops through the rule set rule by rule, that is, rewrite rule directives, and then when a particular rule matches, it optionally loops through existing corresponding conditions, that is, the rewrite condition directive. So they have to work in concert for a particular URI to be matched, and then they have to match the rewrite condition directive as well. So the figure out here depicts the control flow through a typical rewriting rule set. As you can see, the first URL is matched against the pattern of each rule. When it fails, mod rewrite immediately stops processing the rule and continues with the next rule. If the pattern matches, mod rewrite looks for corresponding rule conditions. If none are present, it just substitutes the URL with a new value, which is constructed from the string substitution, and goes on with its rule looping. But if condition exists, it starts on an inner loop for processing them in the order that they are listed. For conditions, the logic is different. We don't match a pattern against the current URL. Instead, we first create a string, test string, by expanding variables, back references, MAC, lookups, etc. And then we try to match condition patterns against it. If the pattern doesn't match, the complete set of conditions and the corresponding rule fails. If the pattern matches, then the next condition is processed until no more conditions are available. If all conditions match, processing is continued with the substitution of the URL with the substitution. I tried to kind of put in a little bit more information on that slide 41 because that's the crux of rewrite engine. So going to slide 42. So I choose this particular example because it encapsulates all the meta characters which Alan kind of described in his section. Basically, you know, it gives you feel for how, you know, the rule set processing flows. This is a pretty complicated example. If people are interested in understanding, having an explanation for this particular slide, send me an email and I'll point you to where I got this example from. It's got a very detailed explanation of how the processing works. Slide 43, please. So another piece of this rewrite engine is the rewrite log directive. Basically, it helps set the name of the file to which the server logs any rewrite action it performs. If the name does not begin with a slash, then it is assumed that it is to be related to the server root. and it should occur only once per server config. There's an example which shows, you know, how the rewrite log directive can be implemented in the HTTP.conf file. Going to slide 44. So on slide 44, here I'm trying to explain to you that you can have different levels of verbosity set for the rewrite log. Rewrite log level 9 captures everything which the rewrite engine parses. To disable the logging of rewrite actions, simply set the log level to 0. This will disable all rewrite action logs, but only the logging action, though. Going to slide 45. So the server variables which I referred earlier, which can be used in rewrite condition matching, is enclosed in curly brackets and is preceded by a percent sign. It is, as I said, it's usually used in rewrite condition directives. Slide 46. So here are a few server variables, not an exhaustive link. There are more server variables which I have not listed out here, but these are the ones which are used more often than the others. They are divided into various categories, the HTTP headers, where you can pull information from the HTTP header itself. You can pull information from the server internals, like document routes, the server name, the server port. And then you have the conditional variables in the server variables. Going to slide 47, please. Actually, slide 48. Basically, I'm going to give you a few examples, simple examples, and they're out there. At the end of this session, I'll provide all the links from where I have actually picked up or stolen these examples. So in this example, you have a requirement to redirect people who ask for abc.html to the page xyz.php instead. So the simplest way to achieve this is to use an .htaccess file. Used to use URL redirecting. So how would you go about it? Basically, you would create two files, abc.html and xyz.php, and place it under the web server accessible directory. And you would also put an .htaccess file which has those two directives. And once you put them in place, a request to abc.html should return the contents of xyz.php while abc.html is still retained in the browser's location box. Slide 49, please. So out here, basically redirecting to a 404 page if a directory or a file does not exist. If your host doesn't provide for a file not formed redirection, you can create it yourself using mod rewrite. So basically, you're checking for rewrite conditions for the file, and you're checking for conditions for a directory. And if both don't exist, then you just rewrite the rule for whatever the pattern is, path to a 404.php. From slide 50. So here, people have requirements where they want to route all requests on a certain port. If it's coming on an HTTP transport, they want to route it internally to an HTTPS. So you're checking for server variable or server underscore port, and you're checking for a value of 80 because that's usually the default port under which HTTP traffic comes in. It can vary for your environment, and you can just make adjustments accordingly. But basically, you rewrite it to whatever the caret open bracket dot star basically means anything, matches anything from the beginning, caret stands for beginning of the string. So it matches period, as Alan explained, stands for matching all characters, and star means a repetition. So you switch it, substitute it with the following URL, using a server underscore name, a server variable, and a request URI. The only change is you are switching the protocol from HTTP to HTTPS. Going to slide 51, please. Sometimes this is kind of a little bit of an advanced example where you allow HTTP only from a local host. The second parameter of the rewrite condition is a regular expression string and not a variable, and it's separated by commas. So you basically compare the two variables in the rewrite condition. it builds a comma-separated list of two IP addresses and makes sure that with the reg expression that is on the left-hand side and the right-hand side of the comma match each another. Going to slide 52, please. Here's where it's an example which says you allow requests to go in from only supported browsers. So in this example, I've used the Netscape Navigator and Firefox to be supported browsers. And if not, then you direct the request using the rewrite tool to a file unsupported browser.html. But if you in this case, if you see you have the rewrite tool ends with a flag L, but if you wanted to pass control, you know, to the plugin, and if this path to this unsupported browser.html or HTML is, I mean, it does match, you know, an entry in the plugin, cfg.xml, then you can just switch that flag with a PT which says pass through to the plugin. Slide 53, please. So if you want to verify, you know, if the client is SSL, verifying the client's SSL certificate, you can use the rewrite condition and rewrite rule with the F flag to forbid access when the client certification, the certificate doesn't match. If the URL is under the context of secure and if the organization doesn't end with secure, then fail the request. Alternatively, you could redirect or rewrite the request elsewhere using the rewrite rule. Slide 54, please. Here's an example for creating extension list links. If your site uses PHP files and you want to make your links easier to remember or you just want to hide the file extension, you can try the following example. If the file name exists with a .php extension, then the rule will be chosen. Next slide, please. Here's a repetition of the previous example from HTTP to HTTPS, but in this example, you have a need to rewrite any request URI not starting with slash business to include slash business in the URI path. So that's what this example indicates. Going to slide 56, please. So I have kind of picked some examples from here. So these are very useful links to understand or even use these guides as cheat sheet for, you know, retrofitting examples into your environment. So these are the two links I have used to understand Module Write. Going to slide 57. What happens if mod rewrite doesn't work the way you want it to work and, you know, rewrite log is not created? So to verify the context of the rewrite write directives, if it's executing it or not, here's the kind of things I try when I'm trying to debug, you know, a support PMR which we get for rewrite rules. Make sure that, you know, the vhost name is added in the main section and it's added in the virtual host section. Each virtual host section has a unique name, and then adding the format percent curly bracket vhost name close curly bracket e in the log format for the log helps you identify what virtual host section that particular rewrite comes from. Going to slide 58. So here's a few other tips to check if, you know, your rewrite logging is working. So you're pasting your rewrite commands in the directory context of the virtual host and not in the context of the .ht access directory. You know, you have the rewrite log level set to something greater than 0, 1 is the least and 9 being the highest. You're making sure that the rewrite log may have not had a problem on logging rewrite processing data when using .ht access. Going to slide 59. So here's I've put an example of what are the various components for enabling a rewrite. Basically, you have a rewrite module where you have rewrite logs, and you have set the rewrite log to log level 3. And then you're allowing traffic from all the user directory slash user slash www. And you have optional indexes to follow symlinks and include no execs. And then you have section where you are turning on rewrite engine on for a certain virtual host section. Going to slide 60. on slide 59, these are the necessary components to have rewrite engine working. So on slide 60, that's a typical rewrite engine log. I believe this is a log level 5 or 6 where you have each and every step of the rewrite engine working, where you're matching pattern. You are entering the rewrite engine, and then you're matching the pattern. You're matching it with the rewrite condition to make sure the rewrite condition matches, and then you are switching the pattern. So that's what a typical mod rewrite log looks like, and it makes life much more easier once you enable log and rewrite log is working. Going to slide 61. Pitfalls. Basically, when you're using mod rewrite in conjunction with proxy pass or with mod negotiation, proxy pass or mod negotiation works or executes before the rewrite rules, and that can kind of cause confusion or mess up, the request URI. So the rewrite engine might not get the exact URI which is expected to be passed to it. Slide 62. So here are some of the bullets to hyperlinks which I've used, and I found them very informative. But the most important is the book which Alan referred to in his section. I found that book very useful, and it's exhaustive. It covers everything. Most of the articles on the web are tidbits of information which need to be kind of put together to understand and get the whole story. But the book provides the A to Z of mod rewrite. Going to slide 63. This chart includes link to the number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. Developer Work offers an in-depth technical information. Visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SAR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notification link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. With this, I will pass control to Joseph. Please do let us know if there are any questions. Unfortunately, the hour is up, but if you have any questions, please feel free to send an email to either me or Alan. Joseph, you want to take over?
Thank you, Alan and Nathine, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Pat, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we do have a question from Mr. Kevin Grigorenko. Your line is open.
Hi. I was just wondering what you have seen in your experience as the performance overhead of both a rewrite rule and rewrite condition, and especially as you add multiple rules.
Obviously, there is slight performance overhead, but then as the processing is internal, it's not a substantial increase in overhead as far as CPU cycles go. But it's not substantial, but it might also depend on the complexity of it all. But even the most complex directives do not have substantial overheads on the processing.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin, you might want to take a look at our performance link in the IHS Diag document. That talks a little bit more than what I have mentioned here.
And I'm showing nothing further at this time.
We will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation.